Hallelujah and glory to God. God is so good. Amen. He is a good, good father. So we've had some awesome testimonies about the Word of God today. People who've learned Psalm 91 and were able to quote it, and just what a blessing it is. And when you apply the Word of God by faith to your life, especially in circumstances like this, well, every day of your life, it's guaranteed to work. Amen? Guaranteed, as Pastor Harvey would say. And we just love Pastor Harvey. We miss him. And we just thank the Lord for him. But I'm going to be talking about the Word of God today. And as I was worshiping one day last week, you know, if you don't get into worship and you don't get into prayer and you don't get into praise and worship and get your focus on the Lord, it's real easy to get a spirit of heaviness on you, especially if you're just sitting around. You can't go out. You can't do anything. Just with everything that's going on, all the scare tactics, all the fear tactics that are going on out there. But as I was worshiping the Lord, He just began to give me, the Holy Spirit just began to bring verses to me about the blessed assurance, that we have the blessed assurance. So many words of assurance and confidence in the Word of God, like we've already talked about today. And there's nothing like the Word of God to assure you of how much He loves you, of who you are in Christ, to set your feet on a rock, to get control of your emotions, your feelings, and all those things. The Word of God is the only solid foundation that we can stand on always, trust in always. Why? Because the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. It's the only thing that is guaranteed forever. Amen. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you and praise you, and we just thank you for the blessed assurance that we have in your word. How many times that we thank you, not only for your words that you speak to our hearts, but for the written word of God, the Bible, that tells us so much of how you love us, the victory you've given us, the power that you've given us, the inheritance that you've given us. It's just endless, endless, endless words of encouragement and assurance. Thank God for your word. Especially during times like this that we're in with this crisis with the coronavirus, Lord, and all that's going on, Lord. And we just continue to pray that your people would just rise up mightily, that we would not only take time to get that blessed assurance from your word for ourselves, but that we would be able to go out and share that word with others, Lord, because people need assurance. People need hope. People need an anchor of hope to hold on to right now, and that is found in only in your words that you've given to us. So bless this time as we talk about the blessed assurance and share some scriptures of assurance that Jesus gave to the disciples as they would go through this world and do what he had called them to do. So we thank you, Lord, for this message in Jesus' name. Blessed assurance. So during this time of crisis with the coronavirus, we need to praise God for all the wonderful verses in Scripture that assure us that because we are in covenant relationship with Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we can have peace, hope, joy, victory, no matter what lies the devil, the media, or the government may be telling us. Amen? In times when it's hard to know really who's telling the truth, thank God that we know the truth. We know Him who is the truth, the way and the life. And we have His written word, which is truth, so that we can know the truth and not be captive to the lies of the enemy. Listen, Jesus was not playing around when He said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen? There is no doubt about that. That is so true. Like the old hymn says, through it all, we need to learn to trust in Jesus. We need to learn to trust in God. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, add a little bit there, and depend upon His word. Jesus said this. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Everything that Jesus told us and everything that the Holy Spirit gave to all the prophets, apostles, priests, all those who have written the scriptures for us will never pass away. Those words are guaranteed forever. Hallelujah. So as I said, when I was spending time with the Lord and entered into praise and worship, and he began to give me some of the words that Jesus gave us to reassure us of the peace that we can have because of the victory that he has won for us. John 14, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus is teaching them about, I have to go away, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you, but I'll be back. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, though, either. I'm going to send someone to help you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to help you. So listen to what he says in John 14, verses 26 and 27. These are straight from the lips of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit is our Helper in times like this. The Holy Spirit, really, the word paraclete, that's what it means. The one who would come alongside, he will be with you forever. He is in us, with us forever. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit living and dwelling in us. He is our Helper. He is our Comforter at all times, but especially in times like this. Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's exactly what he did to me when I was getting into praise and worship. He reminded me of the things, these words of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look, he just doesn't give us any peace, but he said, my peace I give to you. You can't get any higher, greater peace than that. Amen? Then he who can say to the waves, peace, be still, and it just calms, right? That's what we need in our lives. That's what we have in our lives when we have Jesus Christ and in us and we're in Christ. Thank God for our Helper, the Holy Spirit. The end result of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is a deep, lasting peace. Unlike worldly peace, which is usually defined as the absence of conflict, this peace is confident assurance in any circumstance. With Christ's peace, we have no need to fear the present or the future. Amen? Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Sin, fear, uncertainty, doubt, and all kinds of other forces are at war within us, always trying to attack our peace and take our peace away from us. The peace of God moves into our hearts and lives to restrain these hostile forces, and he offers us comfort in place of conflict, the Comforter. Jesus says he'll give us that peace if we're willing to accept it from him. If your life is full of stress because of all that's going on around us, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with Christ's peace. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with his peace. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We must learn to turn our worries into prayers. Do you want to worry less? Then we need to pray more. Amen? That's what Jesus taught us. That's what Paul's teaching us. When we start to worry, stop and pray right away. Cast those thoughts down, pray, get into the presence of God, ask the Holy Spirit to give you his peace. Jesus also gave us these words of reassurance. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen? And then John 15:11, he said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Some other great words that Jesus spoke to the disciples, John 16, verse 33. Now you have to remember in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he was preparing the disciples for his departure. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He was getting ready to conquer sin, death, hell, grave, the Satan. He was getting ready to judge the ruler of this world, as he says, and take him captive and win total victory for his people. But he's preparing them and letting them know, even though I'm going to do that, you're going to have troubles in this world. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have persecutions. They're going to hate you. People are going to actually think they're doing God a favor by killing you. So he's telling them this. You know, he's letting them know this for sure. This is what's going to happen. But he ends all those three chapters with this in John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you. This is why I'm telling you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Before he even gets his victory, he's declaring it right there. He hasn't even gone to the cross yet. He hasn't even taken care of sin, Satan, death, and all those things for us. But he's declaring already, I have overcome the world. When he says be of good cheer, it's not talking about joy there. It's talking about courage. Be bold. Be strong through all this. Be courageous through all this, because I have already overcome the world. Jesus summed up all he had taught them this night from chapters 14, 15, and 16. With these words, he told his disciples to take courage and be bold. In spite of the inevitable struggles that they would face, they would never be alone. Remember, we are never alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have Jesus with us. He'll never abandon us in our struggles. He will never abandon them, and he will never abandon us. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he promises us. And the Holy Spirit is with you. If we remember that the ultimate victory has already been won by Jesus, we can claim the peace of Christ in the most troublesome of times. Because the victory's already been won. We already have the victory. So those are some verses where Jesus tried to just reassure us and comfort us and let us know that we could have peace and victory, and we could be bold in all circumstances and troubled times, that we could have peace. But some of the greatest verses in the Bible that give us the blessed assurance of complete victory and total salvation from every form of trouble that comes our way are found in Romans chapter 8. I think Romans chapter 8 should be a very, as much as Psalm 91 should be a chapter right now that every one of us should memorize, should just go over it and read over it over and over and over again, and let the Holy Spirit just burn it deep within our hearts, in our spirit, and in our mind. So let's read through. I'm going to just read through quite a bit of the chapter, starting in verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If that were the end of the chapter, that would be enough that to sustain us and keep us strong, keep us bold, and give us peace. But it's not. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This whole chapter is about not walking in the flesh, not walking according to the law, but walking and living in the Spirit of God, letting the Spirit of God who is in us control us. We don't try to control the Holy Spirit, but we just get filled with the Holy Spirit and let him control us and do what he wants to do through us all the time. That's where we're going to find true life. That's where we're going to find our true identity in Christ and our fulfillment in what he's called us to do. I'm going to drop down to verse 10. Verses 10 through 14. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. So, my brothers and sisters, this is a more modern version of these verses. So, my brothers and sisters, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves. We must not live the way that our sinful selves want. If you use your lives to do what your sinful selves want, you will die spiritually. Did you hear that? But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things that you do with your body, you will have true life. Because the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Did you hear that? So this is what I've got and what I've heard some of the prophets say. I believe one of the key messages that the Lord sent into his people right now in this time of tribulation is it's a time for refining and purifying your life, getting sin out of your life, getting anything out of your life that is of the flesh, so that we can learn to hear and follow the Holy Spirit better. That we can really learn to be the sons and daughters of God and be led, not doing things in the flesh, but being totally, truly led by the Spirit. It's a great time to do it. You know, so look at this as a little bit of a sabbatical. How often do you get the time to just spend time with your family, with your friends? And this is a great time to spend time with the Lord. You can take all this time and spend it with the Lord. Do some soul searching. Do some inventory. What am I doing? Am I doing things that are really in the flesh? You know, there's things that I need to get out of my life. Let's be take this time to refine and purify, to do some self-examination in the Spirit and get those things out so we can really flush out and block out, get out anything out of our life that stops us from really being the sons and daughters of God and being led by the Spirit of God in everything we do. Amen? I really believe that's a big part of what is going on right now. Because he's got some tremendous plans coming up. I mean, the Lord is about to do, as all the things that we've heard about, the billion soul harvest, those things are getting ready to come to fruition. So I believe he's given us this time to prepare ourselves, to get ready for what he's about to do, because he wants us to be part of it. And I believe only those who really take the time to spend that time with him, prepare themselves, and really get out of the flesh and learn how to be led by the Spirit are going to be the ones that are going to be part of what he's about to do for the kingdom of God. Amen? Verses 15 through 17. Praise God. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. And if children, not just children, but heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is a great verse, verse 18. I mean, those are great verses, and we've heard so many wonderful sermons about what it means to be a child of God, to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. There is no higher inheritance. There is no greater blessing that anybody could ever have. Nothing that anybody could ever give us in this world, nothing that any relative could ever leave us in this world, comes even close to comparing to what we have in Christ Jesus and our inheritance that we have in him. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that belongs to him in the kingdom of God, guess what? Belongs to you too. Belongs to you, belongs to me. Amen? Verse 18, this is a great verse for times like this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, whatever we go through here on this earth, whatever's happening around us right now, is nothing to be compared. It shouldn't even faze us because we know what we have in store for us in glory. Amen? I mean, our hope is not this world. We know that God will, when we come to Christ and get forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life and start a relationship with him, the blessings flow. He teaches us how to have victory. Every circumstance in this life, every trial that comes in this life, he's given us the Holy Spirit so we can walk in victory over those things. But that's all just training for where we're headed. And we're headed to a new heaven and new earth where there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more coronavirus or any other type of virus ever again. And we're going to be with Jesus, ruling and reigning with him. Thank God that this is not our home. This is not our eternal home. We're just passing through here. Amen. And nothing that we go through is worthy to be compared with the glory which we will be revealed in us. And then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He will make everything that's happening right now in our lives work for the good to those who love him. Those who are called, the key is those who are called according to his purpose. He has a major purpose for each and every one of our lives. We are called for the purpose that he has for us. So no matter, just like he did with Joseph and so many other instances throughout his word, that which the enemy means for evil, he can turn to good just like that. He can turn it to good. He can use this virus and all that's going on right now to just get people who don't know him thinking about him so we can have the opportunity to share him with them. Amen? There are a lot of people out there that are starting to think about death more than they ever have before and their mortality. Right? So we can let them know that Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We can tell you how to have life and immortality. That's a pretty good thing to be able to tell people how to do. And that's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verses 29 through 32. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who can accuse the people that God has chosen? Absolutely no one. God is the one who makes them right with him. Who can say that God's people are guilty? No one. Because Christ Jesus died for us. But that's not all. He was raised from death, and now he's at God's right hand, speaking to him for us, interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? If we have no food or clothes or face danger or even death, will that separate us from his love? No. As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen? Why are we more than conquerors? Because in all these things we lose nothing, we gain everything. All our resources are improved as a result of these things. When we go through trials and tribulations and things like this, it's supposed to make us stronger, give us more endurance, make us more like him. Our armor gets brighter. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as Diane used, should become more powerful. We should learn how to use it better. When we go through circumstances like this, that's when you break out the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. That's when we should be breaking out. We should be in it all the time, but especially in times like this, you need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It becomes more powerful to us. Our courage becomes bolder for the conflict. In all these things, our faith is strengthened. Your faith gets strengthened through when you go through trials and tribulations like this. Our love is expanded, our experience is deepened, and the knowledge of who we are in Christ is increased. So there is a purpose in all these things. Amen? read through all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to Moses. They all had to walk through those trials. They all kept going through different trials and tribulations and had to learn to hear God and learn how to trust him and learn how to use his power and use his glory in those situations. It's just a constant progression and a constant learning that he's taken us through, because he's getting us ready for what's coming, and he's getting us ready for eternity, for what he has planned for us, because we'll still be serving him and working in eternity. We're not going to just be sitting on clouds floating around doing nothing. He has an eternal purpose for each and every one of us. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, things right now that are happening, nor things that may happen in the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So you can see why these verses are so important, because they contain one of the most comforting promises in all of Scripture. As believers, we always will face hardships in many forms, persecution, illness, imprisonment, even death. Jesus said that these things would happen. These sometimes cause us to fear, and sometimes people think they've been abandoned by the Lord. We've heard people say that. Which is why Jesus gave us the blessed assurance that he told us in John 14:26-27. I'll send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He'll teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. And I'm going to leave you my peace. Not the peace that the world gives to you, but I'm leaving you my peace. So don't let your hearts be troubled or let them be afraid. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And Paul assures us in Romans chapter 8 that it's impossible for us to ever be separated from Christ. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will never abandon us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us and lives and dwells in us and was always right there with us, no matter what we're going through. He's there to help us. He's the only one who can give us the power to be victorious. His death for us is proof of his unconquerable love. Nothing can ever separate us from his presence. God tells us how great his love is so that we will feel totally secure in him. If we believe these overwhelming assurances, we will not be afraid of anything or anyone. We'll have the peace of God, and as his children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, through the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll have the courage to stand up and fight every day and night. Fight for what's right until the enemy is out of sight. Amen? And as the old hymn says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm purchased of God. I'm born of his Spirit, and I'm washed in his blood. And I love this verse. This is my story. This is my song. I'm going to keep praising and serving my Savior all the day long. And as it says in the Psalms, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth, and I will make known his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Holy Spirit for being there to remind us of the incredible words that not only Jesus have given us, but all the words like Psalm 91. And there's another, 300 verses that tell us about fear. Just your word is so awesome and so precious to us, Lord. What a blessed assurance we can find only in your word. And the truth is in your word. So, Lord, just help us to continue to use your word And Holy Spirit, continue to help us to memorize and learn your word, and to be able to speak forth your word, Lord, to others, Lord, that don't have that hope and don't have that assurance. We're just so grateful for all that you've done for us. And we will praise you and worship you and serve you. And Lord, as we go through this, and now as we're approaching the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover and Resurrection Sunday and the time of the crucifixion, I don't believe it's any coincidence, as some of the prophets have said, your timing right now is your timing. And you're going to just do a mighty, mighty work of great deliverance. This is a great time of deliverance, not just from the virus, but deliverance from the penalty of sin, deliverance from sin and Satan, Lord. And many, many people are going to come into your kingdom during this season, during this Passover season, during this resurrection season. Father, may we preach the cross. May we share the gospel like never before, as people are desperate and hungry to hear of how to have forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. So many of them don't know you. And as it says in Hebrews, so many of them are held captive by the fear of death, by the devil. Lord, we ask that you grant them repentance, that you'll grant repentance, that you'll share the truth, that they'll come to the saving knowledge of the truth, that you could grant them repentance and set them free from the snare of the devil, Lord. You did it for us, Lord, and we're asking you to do it. Pour out your grace upon our nation. Pour out your grace upon all the nations of this world for that great harvest. We just thank you for the great harvest that you're already starting, and Lord, we want to be part of it. Help us to cleanse ourselves. Help us to really learn what is flesh, what's walking in the flesh, and what's being led by the Spirit, because the true sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. And that's what we want. We don't want to be walking in the flesh. We don't want to be wasting time anymore. We don't want to be about our business, Lord. We want to be about our Father's business, just like Jesus was. Make us more like him. Make us more like Jesus, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The more